Good morning, Crossville Church. Good morning. Thank you all for being here. As I always ask you, if you are here in person with us, make sure you check in on Facebook. Let your friends know that you're worshiping with us. If you are joining us on Facebook, please make sure that you comment and let us know that you're watching, and we do appreciate it. We'll have choir practice at 5 this evening, so please come join the choir. If that's something you've done in the past, they'll be glad to have you. But if you're new to it, they'll still be glad to have you. Marcy will be glad to plug you in. We will be doing something this evening that we have not done in several years. We will be having our annual church meeting. We've not been able to do this due to COVID and other things, but we are looking forward to being able to share with you, as members of the church, what has happened in this previous church year that ended on April 30th. So that will be at 6 o'clock this evening in the Family Life Center. We will not be on Facebook Live or Zoom because of that. Since we'll be meeting down there, but then we'll just kind of have a short meeting, go over some different things, talk about the year we've had, the things we've done, and then we will be having a reception after that in the Family Life Center for our graduates, and we'll have some baskets set up for them as well, so we'll have cake and punch, but please bring a snack food that you would like to share, and we'll look forward to a good time of fellowship in celebration of what our graduates have done and are moving on to do in the next chapter of their lives. Our last MOPS meeting for this school year is this upcoming Tuesday. Morning session from 9:30 to 11. Evening session from 6 to 7:30. So please let them know if you plan to be there and help out with childcare or as being a mentor for that final one of this school year. Then, of course, Wednesday night will be normal service time. Everything back to normal up here with our a normal meeting, Facebook Live, Zoom, and in person. And then normal stuff for the kids and teens as well. After the Wednesday night service, Mary would like to meet with anybody who is interested in working with Vacation Bible School. And so if anybody who is willing to help, please be present at this meeting. She'll be going over some things. But it's hard to believe that Vacation Bible School will be upon us here within about another 6 weeks or so in June. So it seems early to start talking about that stuff, but it's really not. So if you are interested in helping, please stick around after Wednesday night. Don't forget to be reading the newsletter. There are many other things that go out each week, so make sure you're staying on top of everything that we have going on. Next Sunday morning, since it is the fifth Sunday, we will be continuing something we started the last time we had a fifth Sunday, and we will be offering two Sundays. Now it's my brain that's missing. All right, two Sundays. So that will be Memorial Day weekend, but we will be having breakfast at 8:30 down in the Family Life Center. So we encourage you to come out, enjoy a time of fellowship, and then go on to Sunday school at 9:30. So there will be more details about that upcoming, but I wanted to go ahead and make you aware of that so it does not sneak up on you. I also have a card that we received, a thank you card that I wanted to share with you. And it says, to our church family, thank you so much for the very thoughtful gift to us at this time. To say we appreciate it is an understatement, and thank you all for your faithfulness and prayers. We know God is working on Brother Lloyd's behalf and on mine. Friends are blessings that make life easier every day. Love, Lloyd and Linda Miller. So thank you all for those of you who have gone to visit them, as Brother Lloyd is in Pleasant Hill, or for anybody who sent a card or anything of that nature. It truly means the world to them. All right, I believe that's all I have. Thank you all for being here today.
There are those transition times in life, and we are getting to celebrate with four young people in our church a transition time in their lives. And so this morning we have some pictures that we're going to show you of our graduates. We got lots of pictures that we could have shown you, but we are going to just show you basically two of our graduates. And Garrett is back there saying, praise the Lord. Is that right? And since I mentioned Garrett first, and I believe he's first on our list up there, and we're glad for Garrett Bullock, who just graduated from Tennessee Tech. And we'll go to the next slide, and he'll tell us what he graduated, the degree that he graduated with, a Bachelor of Science in Exercise Science, and he graduated summa cum laude. I just graduated, thank you, Lord. But anyway, Garrett, would you come up, please? And then Alyssa graduated from high school. Alyssa Woolbright, come on up here. I am muted. That would help if I would turn that on, wouldn't it? There we go. Dylan Wyatt is not here today. After graduation, he got the opportunity to go on a 3-week trip out west. And I don't blame him, you know. He graduated from Roan State with an associate in science. Secondary education, I think, is actually where this is headed. But he is on a trip. I asked Brooke just a moment ago. I said, where is he? And they have just left the Grand Canyon and are going to Zion. Is that correct? Okay. Anyway, but we are proud of Dylan. And wow. Our daughter got to do this 3-week trip out west after she graduated, and it is a blessing. But then Brad Carr. So. Brad graduated from Cumberland County High School, was student of the term at TCAT in Crossville, and we're proud of you, Brad. May the Lord bless you as you go through this. I'm going to give this to you, and you have to give it to Brooke, okay? Bless you. We are so proud of our graduates and the fact of this milestone in their life. And you be praying for these young people, okay? They have a lot of decisions to make in the coming days and weeks and months and years. And so let's be praying for them. And when you see them here at church, tell them, I'm praying for you. And that will mean more than you can ever imagine to them. And we are so proud of them and so thankful for the opportunity to be a part of what's going on in their life. Remember tonight, after annual church meeting, the annual church meeting is not going to be long, but we are going to have a reception for these down in the Family Life Center. So be sure and remember that. Pastor Tyler, come and lead us in worship, please, sir.
Will you stand this morning with me as we pray together? Father God, we thank you again for the opportunity to come into your house and worship you. Father, this morning our minds may be going in a million different directions, but Father, I pray that you would quiet our minds and settle our hearts and help us in this time to come to focus on you. God, I believe that you've got a word for us today, and so Father, I pray that as we figure out what it is that you have in store for us, that we would be in tune to what it is that you have to say, and that we would discern how we can apply it to our own lives. Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for all you do for us. We pray. Amen.
Love that you would take my place.
I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Conquered the grave. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Our sin and our guilt.
That you are our living hope. Thank you for the opportunity that we've had to come into this place this morning to worship you and to sing songs of praise to you. And Lord, as I listen to the congregation, as they lifted their voices to you, what a wonderful time of worship. Thank you, God. for your presence in this place this morning. We didn't have to come and beg you to come, because your word tells us that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you're in the midst of them. And we thank you, God, that you are here today. You are here to meet our needs. You're here to solve our problems. You're here to lift our burdens. You're here, Lord, if we need to be forgiven, to forgive us of our sins. If we need to be filled with your Holy Spirit, you're here to fill us with the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit. And we give you glory, honor, and praise this morning for the opportunity to be here. Oh God, you are so good to us, and we do praise you. We're grateful, Lord, for the things that you've done even in the past few weeks, those that you've touched and helped and healed. But Lord, there are those that still need your touch. There are those who still need your healing. And we're grateful, Lord, that we do believe that you are in the healing business. And so this morning, we entrust these to your care, believing, God, that you're going to do immeasurably more than we can even ask or imagine. But Lord, we also believe that you can surprise doctors. You can do things that we can't even begin to think about. And we trust you and believe you for those things this morning. Lord, we're grateful for these who have gathered here today. But perhaps, Lord, someone comes to this place this morning needing a special touch from you. I pray, Father, that in just a few moments, as we open the altar and we have a time of prayer at the end of the service, may they find the courage and the boldness that they need to step out and to come and find you fresh and real to their soul. Lord, if they've never accepted you as their Savior, thank you that today is a wonderful day for that to happen. Thank you, God, that you are in the saving business, that you will still forgive us of our sins, and you will set us free and give us new life, abundant life here and now. Lord, we're grateful for all the things that you've done. We're grateful for your presence, and we're grateful for this time to be here. May you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, minister to us. And may we receive from you what you have to say to us this morning. May we receive it with open hearts. But Father, may we also receive it with willing hands to go out of this place and to accomplish your purpose in the world in which we live. And we give you glory, honor, and praise for all that you're going to accomplish in this service this morning. We pray and ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be.
Every time I tried to make it on my own, every time I tried to stand and start to fall, and all those lonely roads that I have traveled on, there was Jesus. When the life I built came crashing to the ground, and the friends I had were nowhere to be found. Well, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. There was Jesus. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, in a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't see it or didn't know it, there was Jesus. For this girl who needs amazing kind of grace, for forgiveness at a price I couldn't pay. Well, I'm not perfect, so I thank God every day that there was Jesus. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus on the mountains, in the valleys, in the shadows of the alleys. in the fire and the flood. Always is and always was. No, I never walked alone. You're always there. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I've been, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. There was Jesus. There was Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to speak to you this morning from a very familiar passage of Scripture. I want us this morning to look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I believe God is going to speak to us. Have you been enjoying the prayer journal that you've been going through? I had several people comment to me, and I hope you are doing that. There is a link from our Facebook page so that you can go directly to a PDF copy of that, and you can read it through the week. If you don't have it, we do have some extra copies out in the foyer that we can give to you. We had revival, and we had Easter, and then we had revival, and I've had quite a bit of things on my mind the past few weeks. Beginning Thursday morning, from Thursday until yesterday afternoon, I drove 700 miles, and so that's the reason that my mind was a little bit frazzled earlier in the service. Well, it's frazzled, but I can at least blame it on that for right now. But I really have been thinking over the past couple of weeks about what happened between Easter and Pentecost. We are moving toward Pentecost. That's what the prayer journal is really all about. And we are moving toward Pentecost, and I began to think about all the things that really happened in the disciples' life, in our Lord's life, from the time of the resurrection till the ascension, and then on into Pentecost. And this morning, I want us to look at one of those events that happened between Easter and the ascension, and then into Pentecost. And I want us this morning to talk about some words that will change our world. Some words that will change our world. Have you ever noticed how events with sometimes the most far-reaching implication, that they can be expressed in some of the simplest words? I mean, think about some headlines that you might see. I mean, many years ago, there was the headline, "The Wall Street Crashes." I remember, not because I could read at that point in time, but I do remember this, and not only with President Kennedy, but I also remember with President Reagan when the headlines read, "The president has been shot." I do remember this. I was kidding some kids one time about it, and they looked at me and they said, "William, we were not even born when that happened, but when man walked on the moon." It did make me feel old when they told me they were not alive. You know, the Twin Towers collapsed. I mean, just a few short words, and yet it says so much. Living in Louisiana for so long, when they began to talk about storms approaching, that became very important to us as we lived there. She sang just a moment ago, "Jesus in the Flood," and I couldn't help but think, as I talked a couple of weeks ago, about the flood that happened there, and that Jesus was in the flood. He was in the midst of it. And as far-reaching as those few words are, I mean, there are those words that we have in personal conversations that really can rock someone's existence. I mean, you begin to think about it. If someone says, "I love you," those are powerful words. If someone says, "I hate you," if someone says, "Please marry me," I've heard it so many times as a bride and groom stand in front of a congregation when they say, "I do." And then there are those words that sometimes a spouse will come in and say to the other spouse and say, "I want a divorce." hopefully the kids who have just graduated from high school and college will hear these words, you're hired. I hope none of you hear these words, you're fired. You know, I remember words 30-something years ago when Susie said, I'm pregnant. I remember those words when that doctor looked across that small curtain that was there and said, it's a girl. Some friends of ours, their doctor said, it's a boy and a girl. Bless them, Lord. Those words, I'm sorry to tell you, but you have cancer. Or, I'm so sorry, they didn't make it. Those are just some very simple words, but I want you to know that those very, very simple words can rock someone's personal life. And all of us at some point in time have heard those words or heard words similar to that that have really just rocked our world. They have changed us forever. But I want you to understand that when you come to Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you find Jesus giving us some very simple words, but I do believe that those words should rock your world, they should rock my world, and they should rock the world that is around us. When Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Please understand, Jesus gave us those words and gave those disciples those words so that it would change our world. God wants to change our world. He wants to change our denomination. He wants to change our church. He wants to change our individual lives. And the way that He plans to do that is as you and I become obedient, really, to this Acts chapter 1, verse 8 mandate. And please don't lose sight of this. Please don't lose sight of this. This is a mandate. This is a command. It is what you and I are called to do in this world. There's no way around this statement. This is something that Jesus, please get this, this is something that Jesus expects from those who follow Him. This is something that Jesus expects from those who follow Him. Simply put, Jesus has a plan for your life. Jesus has a plan for my life. Jesus has a plan for His followers. He expects them to be witnesses. He expects them to be ministers in this world. And that's one of the reasons I don't like it when somebody says, well, this is William. He is the minister at our church. And when they say that, I want to say, yeah, and you are too. Because that's the reality of it. We are all called to be ministers in our world. Believers are called to reach the lost with the gospel. This change the world assignment. This change the world lifestyle are words that have been given to change our world. Well, how can we do this? How can we do this? The first thing that I want you to notice, and Jesus tells us this, the first thing is that the Holy Spirit is the source of our power. The Holy Spirit is the source of our power, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Too often, we read Acts chapter 1 verse 8, and we immediately begin to focus on geographical locations. We begin to focus on Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's kind of how our missions mindset. And I'm so thankful that we have a missions mindset. But too often, we forget that, yes, Jesus does begin to mention geographic locations. But before Jesus ever starts to talk about geographic locations, Jesus begins to talk about something that needs to happen in you and me. Did you get that? He begins to talk about something that is to happen in you and me. It's important for us to realize that this mandate takes us to all the world. But when you begin to look at all those geographic locations, it can get a little bit overwhelming. And if we're going to be able to do what we have been called to do, then it's going to take something more within us than just us. It's going to take something more within us than just us. You look at these statements, and I'm going to tell you, even in our day of technology, and it's been an old dog learning new tricks over the past couple of years. To think about the fact that we went from having nothing as far as just us recording our services on Sunday morning on a CD, and you could get that if you wanted to, or Gail posted it on the website. We went to having an iPhone on a tripod and me standing here communicating with all of you. And if you didn't listen to all those sermons, shame on you. You know? And then we moved down there and we got a camera, and now, you know, all of this stuff is going on, and we are able, and it is an amazing process. It's an amazing thing when you think that now we really are capable, because of the technology that we have, of reaching the entire world. That is an amazing thing when you stop and think about it. But as much as the technology is wonderful, as much as it has enabled us to do more than we've ever done before, we can't forget the first part of the statement. We can't forget the first part of the statement, but you will receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We have to seek to be empowered by the Spirit of God in order to accomplish the purpose for which He has called us. Now, very few of you do Facebook Live from your house every week, which must mean that you need to be doing something here locally. Right? Nod your head. Let me know you're with me. You know? And if you're going to be able to do something here locally, then you're going to have something more in you than what you've got. You're going to have the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit when you're at Walmart, especially in the parking lot. You're going to have something. We must seek to be empowered by God in order to do the will of God in the area in which we live. Can I tell you something that is very sad? Tyler made the statement. He and I were talking this week. And he made the statement, and he reminded me of this. And I found out that Carl Bates, who was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention from 1970 to 1972, was the one who originally said this. But Carl Bates stated, and Tyler reminded me of it, that if the Holy Spirit were suddenly removed from the church, 90% of what we do would just continue on as nothing had happened. God help us. What does that say? It says that most of us, and I didn't say you, I said most of us, are operating within our own strength. We are operating within our own power. If we ever intend to accomplish anything for God that is significant, then it's going to be because the Holy Spirit is our source. The Holy Spirit is our source. And our response to Acts chapter 1 verse 8 should not be to begin to look at all the geographic locations. Our response to Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is, Lord, am I filled with your Spirit? That's first and foremost where we have to start. But I want you to notice secondly here, and this is so important too, because we have assumed something here that I think we need to get away from. The command that Jesus gives us here to witness is not a suggestion. Please understand, the Ten Commandments are not the ten great suggestions. And what Jesus has said here is not some great suggestion. This is the Great Commission. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Let me ask you a question. If you're looking at that passage in your Bible right now, do you see any ifs in that sentence? Do you see any ifs in that sentence? Do you see any maybes in that sentence? There are no conditional words in that sentence. For Jesus says there, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. It's not a, well, this might happen in your life. No, Jesus gave this as a command, not as a suggestion. He is here emphatically telling us what the Holy Spirit is going to do in our hearts and our lives. Jesus expects you and me to have a relationship with Him through salvation. But Jesus also expects you and me to have a deeper relationship with Him through sanctification when the Holy Spirit fills us afresh and new. All the New Testament writers seem to make the assumption that the infilling of the Holy Spirit was something that was simply understood. It was something that would be a part of the believers' lives. In Acts chapter 19, verse 2, the question it was asked, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And we don't have to, well, I wonder if that's really what they meant. You don't have to question that. That was what they meant. They meant that every believer was supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we in the Church of the Nazarene have taught and believed since our inception as a denomination that the Holy Spirit should come and fill a person's life. The Holy Spirit has always been part of the equation. But those aren't the only assumptions here. It's not just an assumption that the Holy Spirit will fill us. There is also the assumption that the Holy Spirit is going to cause us to do something. And you will be my witnesses. That is just the flow. That is just the progression that we see happening here. And this progression is intentional. This is what this is all about. Jesus is not asking us, well, if you're going to help me out, then this will be for you. No, 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 no. We are not called to sit in the pew to please Jesus. We are called to be active in His service if we are going to please Jesus. This progression is intentional. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit, look at the progression that we have here. The Holy Spirit comes on us. We receive power, and we are witnesses. It's just a progression through this thing. It is just the natural outgrowth of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, I'm about to say something very harsh, okay? I'm preparing you so that when it comes out, you can't say, well, the preacher just, he was ugly today. But here it is. If at least talking about God in our lives and God's presence and the reality of God in our lives is not an outflow of our lives, then we better check our lives. Now, I'm not talking about going out and being a witless witness, you know. I'm talking about a natural outflow of what God has done in our lives and is doing in our lives. That should be something that just naturally flows from us. When the Holy Spirit fills us, it is something that is there. And if we're not, we have become so shy. We talked about this a little bit Wednesday night. We have allowed the world to take us and silence us and tame us or shame us into feeling that if we talk about Jesus, then we're kind of on that lunatic fringe. No, 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 no. That's not the lunatic fringe. That is reality for Christians. It should be the natural outflow of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But there's also another progression here. You already see it, you already know it, because that is the progression of the geographic locations. He says you are first of all going to be witnesses in Jerusalem, our hometown. Wow. Last night, Susie and I got back. How I drove 700 miles in those few days. I took Susie down to Huntsville so that she could be with our daughter and granddaughters and son-in-law down there for a couple of days. And then I drove from Huntsville back to Knoxville for Board of Ministry meeting. And then yesterday afternoon, Friday afternoon, I drove from Knoxville back to Huntsville so that I could be there yesterday for Emily's fourth birthday. I walked in the door on Friday afternoon, and there were three beautiful little girls. Susie, I had to get that in there. You notice how I changed that real quick. Susie and Emily and Elizabeth. And Emily walked up and said, "Papa, oh, let me just go ahead and tell you, that is the most wonderful child." And then we drove back yesterday from Huntsville. We went to Walmart last night and walked around Walmart for just a little bit. And Susie was looking for some various things. And I walked around, and I did in Walmart last night what I do most every place that I go. I watch people. Now, that may not be you. I don't know. You know, I know I'm weird, and all God's people said amen. Don't do it. Just leave it alone. But I watched people. Had to repent. Now, let me be honest about that. We went by Walgreens, and the young lady that was there was not kind. She never even said thank you, which bothers me because I worked in retail, and you always say thank you. And I, you know, you look at someone and you make a judgment call on them. And I said some stuff to Susie about the young lady. And as I was driving along, the Lord spoke to me and said, "Yeah, she may have all of that, but I died for her too." Can I tell you something? It is not easy to stand before your congregation and say you had to repent. But I had to repent. And I had to say, "Lord Jesus, I'm sorry." Because the place that we are starting with all of this that we want to do is not in Judea, Samaria, or the ends of the earth. The place that we are starting is here. It is your next door neighbor. It is the young lady at Walgreens. It's that family that was running up and down the aisles at Walmart yesterday. It's those people that sometimes you just don't want anything to do with them because they're crazy at times. But they need Jesus too. I'm going to say it again because the amens weren't loud enough. And I'm not just asking, I don't want you to say amen if you don't mean it. But they need Jesus too. And someone was gracious enough at some point in time in your life to talk to you about Jesus. We surely should be gracious enough to those people who live around us to begin to talk to them about the God that we serve, who has changed our life and who can change their life and transform their lives and make them better people. Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. All these words are connected with "and." This is not, "Well, we're going to focus on just Jerusalem and we're going to stay here and everything. It's going to be, Lord bless me, my wife, my son, John, his wife, us four, and no more." That is not the way it works. Because there is a Judea. There is a Samaria. And please remember what Samaria was. Samaria, as far as the Jewish people were concerned, those Samaritans were dogs. They were the outcasts. They were the ones that nobody wanted anything to do with, and so therefore they left them alone. And it's always interested me that Jesus, in his telling them where they are to go, includes the place that no one wanted to go. And to the ends of the earth. There are people that you know or that you know of that, as far as a lot of people are concerned, are outcasts. They may not look like, act like, do like, smell like we do, but Jesus died for them. He died for them. And who are we? Who are we to withhold the gospel from them? Who are we to withhold the gospel from them? These are words, I promise you, that will change our world. God's intention in all of this, I mean, it's very, very clear. He wants the entire world to hear, to know, to be changed. And the gospel isn't, I just said it a moment ago, the gospel isn't just for those who look like, act like, you do like us. The good news of the gospel is to change the entire world. In fact, the results of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, I mean, it's portrayed in Revelation chapter 7 verse 9, because it says there, "After this I looked, and there was before me a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Wow! I got to go as a delegate from the Alabama North District to, was it Alabama North? Yeah, it was Alabama North District to the General Assembly and 1 year. And was before General Assembly, you have all these different committee meetings, all these different people who are assigned to different things. And I walked into one of the committee meetings that I was supposed to be a part of and sat down, and a man came in and walked in and sat right down beside me. Now, please understand, I had seen this man before, but I had never laid eyes on him in the way I was laying eyes on him right then. It was an amazing thing, because I was sitting there and I watched him come in, and I had seen him on NMI videos that had been shown in our church. He came in and sat down beside me. He was from Papua New Guinea. I didn't know his name, but I felt like I knew him because I'd seen him on several videos. The wonderful thing about General Assembly is you go to General Assembly and there are all of these thousands of people from everywhere. I've told you before about the young man that on an NMI service a couple of years ago, or at the last General Assembly, I was helping carry the flags on the NMI night, Nazarene Missions International night. And this young man comes up to me and he said, "That is my flag." And I want to say, "No, it's not. They gave it to me." He said, "That is my country." He had his little girl with him. And he said, "We are products of Nazarene Missions." Can I tell you what that does to a preacher's heart? I wanted to hand him the flag and say, "Here, you carry it." You know? Oh, my goodness. There's all of these people. The guy from Papua New Guinea. The young man with his little daughter. As I stood there, I've got a picture in my phone of me and the young man as we're standing there with his flag. And they were there from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language. They were standing before the throne. They were wearing white robes. And they cried in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Do you see it? Do you see all of this? I mean, those are beautiful words. But those are beautiful words in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where he begins to talk about, then you will be my witnesses after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. After the Holy Spirit comes on you. You see, the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us and enables us and helps us. And the question, it's already on the screen. The question is, who's going to be there because of our witness? There's a negative side to that also. Who won't be there because we failed to witness? That one frightens me more than the first one. I went to a church growth conference several years ago, and I will never forget a phrase that was used when they began to talk about that we as a local body of believers, as individual Christians, we are here to depopulate hell. Think about that for just a moment. We are here to depopulate hell. You say, William, how in the world can you say that? Everybody around us who has not accepted Jesus, they are a citizen there already. We have the opportunity to snatch them, so to speak, from the direction in which they are headed to a new direction, a new Savior, a new way. And please understand something, folks. These are words that Jesus gives us here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that will change our world if we will allow them first and foremost to change us. To change us. Just a few Sundays, we're going to celebrate Pentecost Sunday, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the church. But I'm so glad to tell you this morning that you don't have to wait two or three more Sundays to have the filling and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. You don't have to wait two or three more Sundays to begin to look at your world in a different way. You can begin today. If you've never been filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, I'm so glad this morning that I can tell you that we believe that you can come and in this moment say, Lord Jesus, I have served you, I love you, but I need more of you and you need all of me. And I'm so grateful to tell you that when we say those words, He will do something in us that we can't even begin to explain. And then, you're going to see the world in a different way. The Lord will convict you from time to time of your attitude about those people out there. And you may have to say, I had to repent, like I did last night. But there are people all around us that they need to hear the words that will change their world. And you and I have the words that will change the world. Let's stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful this morning for the opportunity to look into your word. We're grateful, Lord, that what you have given us there in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is not just a suggestion. You first and foremost tell us that we need to be filled with the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit. We need you, and you need all of us. And so, Lord, if there's one here this morning that they need to be filled with your power and your presence, I pray that in just a moment as we sing, that you would come and that you would do your work in their hearts and in their lives. May you fill them with your power. May you fill them with your presence. May you fill them with love overflowing to the people who are around them. And Lord, I pray that if there's some here this morning that maybe their attitude towards some people who they've had to deal with has not been right, but they know those people need Jesus. I pray, Father, that you would help us this morning, Lord, to come and bow before you and say, Lord, forgive me and help me to be the one to win them to you. You have not given us a suggestion. You have given us words to change our world. And so, God, this morning, help us. Help us not to be ashamed. Help us not to be afraid. Help us, oh God, to come and bow before you so that we can change our world right here in our Jerusalem. But then we're going to begin to reach out as this church has been so faithful. We're going to talk about that this evening. This church has been so faithful to give toward missions. But, oh God, help us to be just as faithful to giving toward our mission here at home. Not in money, but of ourselves. We thank you. We praise you. We believe, God, you're going to do something special in someone's life today, whether they're in this room or whether they're on Facebook Live. We believe, God, you're going to do something special in somebody's life today. Now, Lord, help us to be obedient. Obedient to you. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord spoke to your heart this morning. I want you just to come and bow here. There will be people who will gather with you. Maybe there will be people who will gather with you who are under conviction just like you are. Amen. Maybe somebody this morning needs to come and pray about a neighbor. Or maybe someone this morning needs to pray, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. I don't know what you need this morning, but I believe He is here to do something special for all of us in this service this morning. Pastor Tyler, what we're saying. 455. We don't have it on the screen, but you probably know it if he's picked it out.
Take my life and let it be consecrated.
This verse is for you.
Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and
bowed, every eye closed. I wonder if there might be one this morning that would say, Pastor, the Lord spoke to me in the message this morning, and Pastor, I want you to pray with me and for me. There is a neighbor, there is a friend, there is a family member that I know that I need to reach and that I need to win. If that's where you are this morning and you're willing to do it, I simply want you to raise your hand up, put it right back down. I'm not going to come to you and embarrass you. God bless you. Hands all over this room. I pray for you today that God will help you to reach out to those that need Jesus. He has put people into our lives. And if we don't have friends who aren't Christians, we need to make some friends who aren't Christians so that we can win them for Jesus. We love you and thank you, Lord, this morning for the opportunity that we've had to be here this morning. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your Word. Thank you, Lord, that you are going to move in hearts and lives as we are faithful to follow your command and your call. And we love you and we praise you for what you are going to do for us in Jesus' name. May God bless you. I'm glad you were here this morning. Remember, annual meeting this evening. We'll be meeting for about 20 minutes talking about all the things that happened last year in the church. And we are in a new church year, exciting new church year. You come 6 o'clock, then we're going to honor our graduates right after. Lord bless you. You are dismissed.